Good evening, good morning, good afternoon. Hello, everybody. This is Dominic Sicali with Mafia Roundtable, here for another edition. This story is going to be an interesting one. But when I was in my younger days, I was about 17 years old. I always stayed with the older group of kids. One of them, guys, actually men. They were in the, one gentleman was Steven DeLuca, a.k.a. Demon. He had just come home from state prison. He did a seven-year bid. He was 27 years old. And we went back and forth before we became friends that he went with my girlfriend, I went with his girlfriend. We didn't know each other. Then at the end of the day, we became friends. So we made a pact with each other not to go with one another's girlfriends, which was cool. And then we started getting distant with one another. And lo and behold, I found out he wound up going with my girlfriend. So I went with his girlfriend. And actually, they were broken up. So it wasn't even his girlfriend. They were separated. So this one night I'm out, we're partying, driving the neighborhood. And there's a guy I'm hanging out with. I forgot his name. It wasn't a usual guy we hung out with. I just got stuck with him. So we're hanging out in the neighborhood. And in the Bronx, there's an avenue called Crosby Avenue. So I'm driving. All of a sudden, Steven's with another guy called Paulie Carantanuto. Paulie had a white Seville at the time. The Seville had the slant backs. It was a beautiful car, the Cadillac. Paulie's car was white with the blue fake rag top. So it's maybe about 10:30 at night. We pass each other. They stop. They wave. I pull over. They also pulled over. And as Steven's walking to me, I know what time it is. So I get ready. I know it's going to be a fight in the middle of the street. I'm walking towards him. Not the time. I was about maybe 150, 160 pounds. Steven weighed about 205 in shape, good, big built, you know, in good shape. But I was also good with my hands. I was very fast. And as we got close to one another, as I put my hands up, he goes to put his hands up, and boom, a gun gets put to my head. Now I put my hands up in the air from a fighting position. They go up in the air. And he goes, come with me. Come on. Puts me, brings me right to the car, get in the back seat with him. Now, what's going through my head, fuck, I'm going to get killed, but then it's going through my head. The guy in my car gets in the driver's seat. Steven says, drive his car, yells over to him. So he gets in my car, so I'm like, okay, maybe I'm not going to get killed. I'm just going to get fucked up. While I'm sitting in the back seat with Steven, Paulie's driving, says, go to St. Raymond Cemetery. Paulie starts going that way, and I have the gun to my head. Steven said, you want to go with my girl? You're talking a lot of shit. I'm like, listen, I'm sorry. You know, I'm basically bitching up. So with that, we get out of the car, and I got hit with the pistol, punches. I'm not going down. I'm basically stumbling, backing up, and I'm getting hit. Boom, I go down. And then there was a lot of debris in the area. So it was just right by the cemetery. We weren't inside the cemetery. I mean, I'm getting kicked, punched. There was a muffler there, like a tailpipe of a muffler. Got that, hit me with the muffler, my hands. I'm trying to block it. I'm just on the ground. He's kicking me and just going to work on me. There's nothing I could do at this point. But try to cover up and absorb the punches as best as I can. So with that, and he's talking a lot of shit's going back and forth. I'm like, now I'm at the point, fuck it. You want my fucking girl, like, you know, well, he's going off on me. I'm getting beat up. I got beat up for about an hour and a half. Bad, real bad. All of a sudden, the cops, I guess they're doing their patrol, and they probably got calls from the neighbors who live close by the cemetery. All of a sudden, none of them see the cops, cops come, they shine their light to where we are because we're into a field. Like I said, it's just high weeds and everything. So right away, I get up and I told Steven and them, they had a gun on them. I says, I'll take care of it. And I walk over to the police car. They see all blood's coming down my face. I look like the Elephant Man. I'm just bad. Hands, everything's swollen. So they asked me, I said, are you all right? You know, we got a call. We're doing our patrol, and we got a call. So, you know, and we see you guys there. And look at you. Are you okay? I says, no, officers, I'm fine. Those two guys over there, they're my friends. They help. I had a fight. Obviously, I lost, and they're cleaning me up. They're cleaning me up because when I get home, my mother's going to freak out. So they're shaking their head. They said, you sure? I said, no, absolutely. They're my friends over there. You know, I'm just, the guy left. The fight's over with. You see nobody else is around. They're just trying to help me clean up and get, okay, all right, good. All right. Be safe. And that's it. They don't do anything. So I walk back. I told them what happened, Stephen and Paulie. So they knew it. And that's the type of guy I was. That's that thug mentality. Wasn't the one, oh, they have a gun, they're going to kill me. No, it is what it is. And at that point, too, I knew they're not going to kill me. The cops just saw them. So I got beat up some more and then went home. So now, and I'm going to come back to this part later on. And that's what happened. The next day, my mother, she came in my room to say goodbye before she left for work. Blood's all over the place. She freaked out. She called my Uncle Pete the neck. And then the guy who I was around, the Genovese, I said, don't worry, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. So with that, maybe about a year later, I moved down to Florida. I'm in Florida coming back and forth. I'm bringing guns up to New York, drugs, selling drugs. I'm robbing people up there, just taking off drug dealers. Telling them, hey, I need a key or two. They're coming with the key, taking it. So this one time I come back up there, there's a kid I was close with, Michael Hippie. I forgot his last name, but he became a Genovese soldier in the crime family when I was away in jail. And Michael Hippie was around the kid Sally Larker. They had a good crew. They were from Morris Park. They weren't from the Pelham Bay section of the Bronx. And actually, a few times I sold him some guns when I was coming up. This time I asked him, it's my old partner, Michael Sullivan. He's looking for coke. You know, we'd usually buy a key of coke at a time, break it up, and sell it loose. That's when I was, even in my younger days, when I was 16, 17, 18, we were partners and we were making a killing in the neighborhood with selling drugs, breaking it down. So with that, Michael asked me, Dom, you have any connections? I said, yeah, absolutely. So I call up Hippie. Hippie had half a kilo of coke. I said, all right, Hippie, give me the coke. What do you want for it? He gave me a price. I told Michael another price. I tacked on maybe $2,000-$3,000. Michael said, okay. So I said, all right, Hippie, give me the coke. I'm going to go to Michael, and I'll come back, give you the money. Hippie was adamant. I'm not giving it to you. I want to meet Michael. I want to meet Michael. I want to meet Michael. I tried for about 15 minutes. He wants to meet Michael. And I knew what time his intentions were. Once he meets Michael, he's going to deal directly with Michael, and they're going to cut me out. So I said, all right, let me call up Michael. And like I said, I always had guns on me. So this time I have a 40. Usually my gun of choice was a 45. I had the Colt U.S. government issued. So it's a big 45 caliber gun, handgun, automatic. Go to a payphone, call up Michael. Hey, Mike, I'll be there in about 5 minutes. All right, be ready. He said, all right, Dom, I hang up. I open up, Hippie's sitting in the passenger door. It's summer day. I open up the door, put the gun to his head. Get the fuck out of the car. He looks at me. He had the soda bottle in his hand. The key was in the back seat with a shirt over it. I said, leave the coke, get the fuck out of the car. You want to be a wise ass? You think you're going to go behind my back? Now you're getting robbed. Gets out of the car, and he starts walking behind the car, like walking away. I walk around, get in the car, take off. I look in my rearview mirror, and he's just looking at me. I'm laughing my ass off. at least take the soda bottle, throw it at the car. He didn't do anything. He just stayed there. And I basically robbed him. So I go to Michael. Michael gives me the money. I give him the coke. In the interim, I'm still bouncing around the Bronx. So this one day, maybe about 2 days later, I'm on, I think it's Tremont and Westchester Avenue. There's a McDonald's. And I'm standing outside. I'm by a payphone. I'm waiting for somebody to call me. I paged them with the payphone number at the time. The numbers would be on the payphone. Put the number in and I'm waiting. I have a Panama Jack short set on, no pockets. I have my 45 in the car. It's under the seat. And I had a five-shot Derringer. It was this big. It sat in my hand. So I have the holster in my underwear, and I have the Derringer down there with the shirt over. You can't even tell I have a gun on me. So as I'm waiting by the payphone, a motorcycle's at the light. All of a sudden, I see the motorcycle go by the curb, and two guys get off. They pull the helmets. It's Hippie and one of his partners, Sally. They start walking towards me. So right away, I go in my pants, my underwear. I pull out the Derringer. And I have it in my hand, so you really can't see it. It's so tiny. It basically fits in the palm. And I'm holding it, and I'm like, come on. Come on. Come closer. And they knew they had to see something in my hand. They didn't know what it was because I don't think, unless they saw it was a little Derringer. They decide, they turned around, got back on the bike. We'll see you. Okay, yeah, you'll see me. As soon as they got on the bike, put the gun in, went to my car, tried following them because now I'm looking to get them. They got lost, missed them. So with that, I go back to Florida. I wind up getting into a beef, killing a guy. And that story will be for a later time. Guy got killed in a hotel room, and that's a story in itself. But with that, the government charges me first, the state of Florida. I get hit with accessory to after the fact, the first degree murder. As I'm making bail, they hit me with first degree murder. They gave me bail on that. My grandparents put up their home. I never had a record before, clean record. I had arrests, but never convictions. So now they hit me with first degree murder. All of a sudden, I call up my father. So I had some law enforcement connections as far as they would give us tips. They tell me, I get a call from New York and they're like, hey, Dom, your father's friend's ratting on you. I'm like, get out of here. Told me certain things. I call my father, tell him certain things. No, Dom, they play that game. This is from a cop that I know who always gave us information. And he said certain things that happened that evening. So with that, I'm just shaking my head. Like, this guy's out. His name is Ernie Collazo, actually, who my father's friend who ratted on me. With that, the state comes back. I'm getting ready to go to trial. They offer me a plea deal for manslaughter. 3-year mandatory, because the gun charge carried a 3-year mandatory. I told my lawyer, now I'm looking at the electric chair for first degree murder. I told him, tell them to drop the gun charge because they never recovered a weapon, and I'll take the plea. I'll plea out. Lo and behold, they agreed. I go in for sentencing, and actually, I'll go into another story with that. While I was out on bail, I wound up getting arrested for armed robbery, burglary. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm really screwed on this. And it just so happened to be in front of the same state judge. I'm like, I'm fucked. I'm fucked every which way. But thank God, God was on my side. The judge accepted the plea. And he even said, you know, I shouldn't accept this plea, but I already agreed to it prior. So I'm going to accept it. You're a lucky man today. You're young, and he's giving me the whole nine yards. While he's sentencing me, gives me the 7 years, my lawyer says, here, this is from Ernie. He hands me a letter. I'm reading the letter. Ernie's telling me, it's because of me you got that plea. And if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have got the plea. Your lawyer didn't do anything. And as I'm reading the letter, Ernie lied when he cooperated with law enforcement. He told him, he said, which was, this part was true. The guy was trying to kill me. At the end of the day, the guy pulled out a gun. I pulled out a gun and I beat him to it and I shot him, killed him. That wasn't the truth. But obviously, maybe that was the weight that gave me the manslaughter charge. And the fact I never had a record. Ernie was a 2- or 3-time loser. So him testifying against me, what proof do you have? There was no proof there. So I took my plea, did my time, came home. I was out 4 months. Within the 4 months, I had a relationship with somebody while I was in prison, a lady outside on the street. Wound up getting married. As we're getting ready to go on our honeymoon, it was 2 weeks after our marriage, we planned to go to LA for a month with her parents. And DEA comes and arrests me. And that'll be part of the other story, another podcast. But they arrest me and they tell me, just cooperate with us. We won't charge you. Work with us. We want you. They wanted to take down guys in New York. I'm like, I'm not a rat. I'm not doing it. I'll be out. Well, lo and behold, I had a 2-hour trial with open and closing arguments and received 10 years. They found me guilty of a conspiracy and not guilty of possession. So that story, when you hear it, you're going to hear how corrupt the DEA was back in the early 90s, especially in Florida. So with that, I did my time. That's where I met all the mobsters, all the five families. Everybody's schooling me, grooming me. Hey, come with us, come with us, come with us. From Bruno and Delicato, Anthony Bruno and Delicato, to Alfonsisca, Funzi, Arnold Squitieri, Louis Didone, Little Oscar Ansorian, Tommy Faris. The list goes on and on and on. I had the who's who in the mafia. Mickey Boy Paradiso was another one. Fat Andy. So there were some powerhouses that I was away with. Even Ciccolini from Philly, the underboss. So there was a lot of made guys. And everybody wanted me around them. They knew I was tough, good pedigree, stand-up kid at the time, young man. So with that, I come home. I'm in Jersey. I meet up with Vinny, Bruno, Vinny. And then all of a sudden, Vinny kept on questioning me about the state case. I'm like, check it out. My father's from Rattatami. I did my time. Excuse me. I can't help it. I was looking at first degree murder. They gave me a plea deal. Happens all the time. I had no record. I didn't tell anybody. Check it out. So Vinny did. He came back, checked it out. And for the record, when I testified against Vinny Basciano in his first trial, his attorney, the first question he asked me, Mr. Sicali, have you ever cooperated, assisted, gave any information to any type of law enforcement whatsoever, whether it be federal, state, police, local, did you ever cooperate in any capacity, give any information, talk about anybody to any law enforcement? My answer was, absolutely not. No, I did not. Never. And that was it. So the government would have known about it. I would have had to disclose it. It would have been part of my 302s or the discovery, whichever it is, Brady information, however they word it, it would have been part of the record. So to answer everybody's question, I never ratted in my life. Always stand up and did 10 years for a crime I didn't commit. So now we come back to the current day. Vinny's out there, and he calls me, says, come with me. He goes to meet Anthony TV, who at the time was a Lucchese captain. So I go meet Anthony. I'm sitting in the car. Vinny's talking to him because Anthony had a big sports book, and Vinny owed him money because Vinny loved to gamble. And when Vinny was on bail for the Blue Thunder case, Vinny started betting a lot, betted more than he had, and wound up owing Anthony TV maybe $400,000 or $500,000. So Vinny was knocking down the payments or knocking down what he owed. So he's speaking with TV. So Vinny told him, he says, Anthony, I'm going to introduce you to Dominic. He's with me. Anthony TV tells him, I'm not meeting Dominic. He's a rat. Vinny looked at him. What'd you say? He says, Dominic's a rat. Vinny shakes his head. Hey, Dom, get out of the car. Come out. Let me ask you something. Are you a fucking rat? I looked at Vinny. What the fuck were you talking about? Well, TV's saying you're a fucking rat. As soon as I heard that, I went at him. I mean, I sprinted right towards him to grab him. I would have left him in the fucking street. This punk is running around the car. Running. I'm an associate. This guy's a captain. He's running around the car yelling, Vinny, Vinny, tell him who I am. Tell him. Vinny, please, tell him. After we ran around about three times, I couldn't catch this fat bastard. I mean, he was booking for somebody out of shape. This man was running for his life. Vinny finally said, Dom, Dom, stop. As soon as Vinny said that, I stopped. I'm standing in one spot. TV's about 15 feet away from me now. Vinny turns to TV. Who put the fucking label on him? Tell me now. I want to know now. Otherwise, I'm going to let him fuck you up. So he says, Hippie. Michael Hippie said it. Okay. Vinny told him, he said, let me tell you something. Dominic's not a fucking rat. And you let everybody know in all these five families, anybody calls this guy a rat, he's going to fuck them up. And if he doesn't fuck them up, he can't be with me. Vinny points. He can't be with me. You understand that? And let them know. Friend, captain, underboss, boss. If they call him a rat and I'm there, I'm going to help Dominic fuck them up. Because he's a reflection on me. TV's like, all right, I'm sorry. I will. We get back into the car. Vinny said, this fucking punk. I introduced him to a guy, Lenny, who actually was with our sports book. Not legitimate, but basically a college kid. And he shook Lenny's hand, not knowing him. With your pedigree, the way you are, he has to call you a rat. He believed Hippie. With that, I'm fuming. Fuming. I asked Vinny, I said, I want to fuck him up. No, you can't do it. You can't do it. So now I start asking around because now I'm curious. I start asking my friends. Hey, did Hippie say this or that? Half of them were reluctant. Some of them was like, yeah. And because like I knew there was more to it. And well, you remember the night when Steven grabbed you? Yeah. Hippie said you got a baseball bat stuck up your ass. That they put a baseball bat up your ass. I'm seeing red rats for this, literally. I'm like, I had a baseball bat stuck up my ass. Okay. Did Hippie have any hospital reports? Because definitely a baseball bat going up my ass. I'm going to the hospital. Might even die over it. You know, that's a baseball bat's pretty big. And to get jammed up somebody's ass, it's going to cause damage. Of course, there's no hospital records. Never went to the hospital. I never had a baseball bat stuck up my ass. And if I did, I would say it. Well, there's nothing I could do about it. I'm man enough to say it. That never happened. That was just Hippie fabricating something. Because Hippie didn't have the balls to address me robbing him. So this was him getting back. I'm a rat, not true. I had a baseball bat stuck up my ass, not true. And even if it did happen, I would have said it. We said it happened. What am I going to do? I have a gun to my head. I'm getting beat down. They stick a baseball bat at my ass. It's embarrassing, but it is what it is. And trust me, I'm going after them. You could believe that. Never happened. Not true. So with that, I go to Vinny, and I'm pissed. I'm fuming. I said, Vinny, this is bullshit. I want this kid's head. I want him. I want to have my day. Vinny says, okay, go ahead, go. Here's what you do. And we knew Hippie hung out at a local bar called Waterberry's. We'd go there every once in a while with a bunch of guys. I grab a few guys, a guy, John, who was actually on a piece of work with us. We killed somebody. I'm with a guy, Joe Barone, who turned out to be a government. He was working with the government for 20 years. My cousin's boyfriend. I bring him. And there was one more person with us. I forgot who. strapped up, have guns. We all have guns on us. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to pick a fight with Hippie and Waterberries. And I also have in the car, because I'm going to grab them. We're going to go outside. I'm going to bring them outside. And I have a baseball bat. And I have Vaseline. Baseball bat's already lubed up. I'm going to ram him up his fucking ass. I'm going to pull his pants down, and I'm going to stick it up his ass. You want to say, I had a baseball bat up my ass? Motherfucker, now you're getting one up your ass. You want to play games? I'll show you what a tough guy does. We sat maybe about three different times over 2 weeks going there. I didn't want to go consistent because then everybody's tipped off. Like, what's he doing here? So I never went to that place. Lo and behold, I can't get a hold of Hippie, so we can't get a line on him. So with that, Vinny said, let me handle it. Vinny goes to the Genovese guy. This was the guy who basically raised me, my father figure in the life. And he told him what happened. He's shaking from what Vinny told me. He shook his head. He says, I'll handle Hippie. Tell Dominic, and he told him, I'm pissed. And the guy knows I'm gunning. He knows deep down. Vinny didn't have to tell him. Tell Dominic, please relax. I'll handle it. The way I handled things for him in the past, tell him I'll handle it. I'll make sure another word doesn't come out of Hippie's mouth. And Hippie turns around and tells people he did tell. That never happened. He just said that because I robbed him when we were younger. So Vinny says, hey, what about this? Because Vinny knew I wanted some blood from this kid. How about we put them in the ring together, either with gloves, without gloves, let them duke it out. The guy tells Vinny, he says, do I look fucking stupid to you? I'm going to let Dominic go in the ring with one of my guys. Dominic will destroy him. I'm the one who taught him how to fight, how to box. He said, Dominic will eat him up. I would never do that to Hippie. You know, that's a reflection on us. I would never. If it was the other way around, yes, I would let it happen. Vinny starts laughing. He said, Bo, I had to try. So with that, people started telling me, Dom, Hippie came up to us and said this, like it never happened. Okay, good, good. Lo and behold, maybe about a month goes by. I'm with Big Jimmy McManus, Irish guy. We have to go to Tommy Lee, represented Jimmy on for something. And Jimmy goes into the office to see Tommy Lee, who's an attorney. I'm standing in the waiting room. All of a sudden, who walks in? There's about maybe 5 to 7 younger guys and Hippie. Hippie's standing at the counter. Right away, I get up and I'm at the counter like this, just staring right at him. Hippie looks, and all the guys, none of them know what's going on, all the younger guys, they're all walking around talking. Hippie's looking at me. Dominic, why? Why, Dominic? And he says it above average tone. So I go, let's go outside. And I whisper it, let's go outside. Me and you, outside. Hippie did not fucking move. The only move he made was walk around me and go into the place. I'm fuming, and he knew it. Because if he would have went outside, the outcome would have been, I don't care what would have been said. He could have said, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I was going to fuck him up. He's a soldier. I'm an associate. I was going to fuck him up, and then I would have lied. I would have told Vinny the truth, and then I would have said, Hippie said, well, I heard you did get a baseball bat stuck up my ass, and I heard you are a rat. I would have said that. That's what I would have lied, but I would have fucked him up bad, bad. That's how much venom. And like I said, I'm straightforward, but for something like that, I wanted this guy's head, and I would have did anything possible to get his head at that time. And if you like that story, hit subscribe, like button. Send in the comments. I'll try to answer them all. And thank you for all the love and support. Have a good evening, good morning, good night. Peace out.